Good morning, everybody. Welcome into a Friday edition of Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah, Back Patent Day. But most people are probably off today anyway because it's a holiday weekend, July 4th. Hannah is away today, and we will both be away on Monday. You'll be hearing a best of. This is Tony Beam. I'm the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference. I love America. I just want to start, I think, the show with that statement. I am a God and country man all the way, God, country, family. In fact, that's I think Mark Lynch ran for the state Senate on that platform. I think those things are incredibly important, and I think they're linked together inextricably in a way that you can't break the bond without hurting the others. Now, not, of course, God. God can't be hurt by anything, but those who believe that America can be a strong country without God or without belief in God, or at least a large group of people that believe in God, or by principles that we find in the Scripture, you're going to find that if those principles are ever completely rooted out, which many progressives want to see happen, then you're going to see America fail. Families are the backbone of America. Families are under attack, and one of the things that the Black Lives Matter movement, according to their website, wants to do is to basically replace the nuclear family, and that would be devastating for America. It would be devastating for the health of our country, and that's why I strongly oppose the Black Lives Matter movement, while I strongly support the statement that Black Lives Matter. And I think there is a tremendous difference between those two things. So I think the United States of America is one of the greatest things to happen to the world ever. The number of people that have been lifted out of poverty, the number of people that have been given hope, the people who have streamed into this country, fleeing oppression and dictators and systems like communism, socialism, Marxism, Nazism, imperialism, fascism, all those things people ran from, they ran to America because of our Constitution, because of the Declaration of Independence, the way this country was founded. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And progressives who want to tear it down and replace it with a Stalinist type of country are just wrong. And I'm praying that Americans are not going to allow this to happen, that to allow our country to be destroyed by anarchists, by Antifa, and then rebuilt into some type of communist paradise, because communism never creates a paradise. Socialism never brings about the utopian promises that they give. It always brings death, destruction, poverty, illiteracy, suffering, pain. People who succumb to socialism and communism eventually become nothing more than cogs in the wheel of the state. And so I'm really hoping that Americans reject this. If we embrace, in this election coming up in November, if we embrace the Democrat Party, we're going to embrace communism and progressive ideas that will eventually lead to our destruction. We won't survive. You cannot survive as a country with the radical left being in charge of one of the two major political parties. Now, that's never been true before that I'm aware of. I mean, we've had Democrat presidents. Some of them have been very good. I actually think John F. Kennedy was a good president. I think Harry Truman made some very tough decisions as president. I think there are things that Franklin Roosevelt did that were good. I think overall, Roosevelt hurt this country immensely with a lot of the social welfare programs and government-sponsored programs that took responsibility out of American hands and tried to transfer them to government. And I think that Roosevelt prolonged the Great Depression, and what rescued America from the economic destruction of the Great Depression was the economic might and production that ramped up because of World War II. So, and if you go back and look, history bears this up. This is really rubbing salt into progressive ideology, because progressives do their best to rewrite history and to make Ronald Reagan the bad guy, make Gorbachev the hero of the fall of the Soviet Union, and to make Franklin Roosevelt out to be some kind of saint, while undermining conservative presidents and leaders who have contributed a lot to the future and the health of the country. So, just one thing you can always count on from me. Well, several things. Number one, my ultimate allegiance and direction of my life is to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I love God. I love Jesus Christ as my Savior. I love to preach the gospel and to see what it does in the lives of people that it truly transforms. I love my family. I think my family is one of the most important things to me. My wife, my children, my grandchildren, my extended family, I am blessed beyond measure. Denise has got, she put up this thing in our bathroom over a collage of all of our family just at different stages in their life. And it just says we're blessed. And she's exactly right. Every time I look at that, that's what I think. And families that are strong make America strong. The families that are dependent on God, that go to church together, that worship together, that read the Bible and try to live by its principles, those families make, that's what makes strong families, and strong families make America strong. And so, like I said, there's definitely a connection with all those things. We've got July 4th coming up tomorrow. Some people are saying we shouldn't celebrate because America's a terrible country. Let me tell you something. I was out yesterday just out and about doing different things, and I saw people buying American flags at Lowe's. I saw them putting them up in their yards. And let me just encourage you. Do that. I mean, you see me today, if you're seeing Facebook, and I don't know what's up there, but we can fix that. If you see me, you see I've got on my flag shirt. I had on one yesterday. I've got several. And my hat has got the American flag camouflage version here. And I did that these last couple of days because I wanted to make that statement that America matters. And this idea, we have to stand together and push back against the very wicked, very destructive, very wrong picture of America as being the bad guys in the world. We need to be proud to be Americans. We need to be thankful that God has blessed us as a nation. We need to stand up and not be ashamed to talk about the fact that America is a great place and that it's not systematically racist and that the police are not going around looking for black males to murder. I mean, those are lies that are being pushed that some people, good people, are buying into, and they're being totally duped, having the wool pulled over their eyes. A lot of young people are buying into this idea that generational racism is, you know, look, is there racism in America? Of course. And there always will be, because there'll always be people, and where people are, there will be sin. And there's going to be racism and prejudice, but that racism and prejudice is not contained only in white people. I mean, racism and prejudice goes across the spectrum when it comes to race or ethnic background or religious background. What we need to do is focus on prejudice and preach the gospel, which basically says that the ground is level at the cross, meaning anybody can come, and remind everybody that in heaven, every tribe, nation, tongue, and people will be standing before the throne of God. And so if we all embrace that mindset individually, then we're going to see collectively America become the place that everybody believes that it is. Which is, I mean, in terms of race, there's no other country in the world that has given the kind of opportunity and has defended the opportunities for every person, regardless of their race. That's what this country was founded on. Now, just real quick before we take our first break, we need to be reminded, what is July 4th? You know, I talk to a lot of people, and they'll say things like, well, July 4th is when we signed the Declaration of Independence. Actually, the Declaration of Independence wasn't completely signed until around the end of August, because it just takes a while to get everybody's signature at the time that the Declaration of Independence came to be. We declared our independence from Great Britain on July 2nd, 1776. John Adams actually thought that that would be the day that everybody would celebrate. He was kind of aggravated that America chose to remember July 4th, and he refused to participate in a lot of July 4th celebrations because of that. But July 4th is when the Declaration of Independence was adopted by the Congress. We declared our independence on the 2nd, adopted the official declaration on the 4th, and that's the day we celebrate. And we should celebrate, because America was born as a free nation that would eventually give freedom to all people. Yes, when the Constitution was written, there were people in America who were not protected by it, and people in America who did not realize its benefits until years later. But, you know, the fact that it didn't immediately transform the country into what the country is today doesn't mean that the ideals were wrong. In fact, it proves that over time, slavery was abolished in America, freedom was applied to every person, rights were being granted to everybody, and that continues to be the case in the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. It's kind of different when July 4th ends up on a Saturday. But most people are off either today or Monday, or some are off both days. So I hope you enjoy your July 4th weekend. We're planning to go to a big July 4th celebration tomorrow night. Looking forward to seeing a big fireworks show and then a smaller fireworks show that we're just going to kind of all chip in and celebrate ourselves, which that's a lot of fun. I mean, look, you won't find anybody that enjoys fireworks more than me, but more than just sitting watching these huge fireworks displays, I love to shoot fireworks myself. I always have. So we're looking forward to having that opportunity tomorrow night. I want to take this, and by the way, we're going to get to the news of the day, because there's a lot of stuff out there that we need to talk about, and we will. But we're going to spend a little bit of time today just talking about America and why America is good. Because this election that's coming up in November is about whether America is good or bad. I mean, it really does come down to that. If you like the country, if you think the United States of America is a force for good in the world, and you're thankful for the opportunities that you've been given to use your gifts and abilities to rise as high as they can take you, if you think capitalism's a pretty good idea, if you've prospered under that system and seen the benefits of how it's raised millions of people out of poverty around the world, then you need to be paying attention, because if Joe Biden wins in November, there's going to be a change in the entire direction of this country. Because whether he's at the helm or some vice president that he picks is at the helm when Joe Biden's no longer able to lead the country, it doesn't matter. It's all going to be the radical left progressives, the woke crowd that wants the Washington Redskins change. And by the way, just this is an aside. We'll talk more about it later. But if you're a Washington Redskins fan, you might want to hold on to your Washington Redskins gear, because it's about to be a thing of the past. The Redskins have been able to fend off all of these demands that they change their name. They're going to cave this time. They haven't yet, but they will, because they're not going to have any choice. The corporate bullies that will eventually force everybody to knuckle under to the woke progressive way of life, because these corporations have completely sold out to progressives. These corporations will force the Redskins into compliance. Nike is refusing to sell Redskins gear. They've removed all the Redskins gear from their website. FedEx, who bought the naming rights to the FedEx Stadium where the Redskins play football every Sunday, they're putting pressure. I mean, eventually they'll cave. So you might want to hold on to that gear because it'll be worth a lot of money. There'll be people that will be wearing Redskins gear until it's banned. They'll, you know, for a while, they'll just tell people, okay, we're the Washington Senators or we're the Washington whatever now. That and to me, it's a lot more offensive if they are if they become the Senators than it would be if they're the Redskins. I mean, why would you want to be considering the Senate? Why would you want to exalt the Senate? But in any way, that people will be wearing their Redskins gear to the games for a while, then they'll be banned. I mean, you can count on it because this is how progressives their ideas don't catch on to the mainstream. They're still, even though they look like the big dog in the room, they're still a minority, but they intimidate people, they threaten people, and they have the loudest megaphone because they have the media and they have the news organizations. The institutions of our society are now firmly in the hands of progressives, even for the most part. The church, many churches have caved. They just don't want to, churches don't want to put up with having to the hassle of teaching the truth of God's word anymore. A lot of churches, not all, and certainly not all, but a lot of churches have. So progressives are gradually getting all of the institutions of our culture that keep our country strong in their firm control. So in any event, as this thing goes on, and we make a decision in November about what kind of country we're going to be. I really like Jared Stepman's piece today that he wrote for the Daily Signal because the title of it is Three Reasons America is Great. And I want to just start with the first reason that he writes about, and I'm going to go through all three of them here because I think as you go to your July 4th celebrations tomorrow, you may have family members who have bought into this progressive idea that America is terrible and it's got to be reworked. I mean, I'm talking to friends of mine whose children are the age of my children, and their children are rebelling against the idea that America is a great place and blaming our generation for systemic racism. It's an incredible thing to watch. But so you're going to want to talk about these things. When you go to these celebrations, you need to be able to talk about why America is a great country. Sterrett writes, number one, it's a culture of self-government. Americans, even before the birth of the United States in 1776, have always been a self-governing people. One of the first orders of business for the Pilgrim settlers when they arrived on the shores of Massachusetts was to create the Mayflower Compact, which was a basic statement of self-government and loyalty to the British Crown. The Jamestown colony in Virginia set up the House of Burgesses in 1619, the first legislative assembly in the New World. Following their heritage, the British colonies in America almost immediately established institutions of self-government where community participation in the creation and upholding of laws was extensive. So America became the first country, the United States, the country, the colonies that would become the United States of America, established this idea that the power of the government was in the hands of the people, not the elites. And progressives, by the way, want to reverse that. They want to put the power in the hands of a few elites, and the people just become subjects again, essentially. And America was founded on the opposite idea. In the almost two centuries between the arrival of British colonists in America and the American Revolution, the colonist attachment to self-government deepened in comparison to their cousins back in England, where representation was often more symbolic than actual. Amid Parliament's ultimately foolish attempts to ham-handedly rein in the colonies at the end of the French and Indian War, it was the Crown that triggered the separation, the drive for total independence. The thought of losing their grip on self-government made the colonists believe that they would soon end up in the vice of absolute tyranny. That's absolutely true. If you don't assert your autonomy, if you're not willing to fight for the principles that make America great, then we'll come under tyranny again. It's just around the corner. After years of discontent and pleading with British authorities to loosen their grip of control, the colonies rebelled. The Declaration of Independence, a remarkable and timeless document, did not just lay out the essential God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in its most famous lines. It also lays out the blow-by-blow steps of the British government and the colonies to establish that it was not just the rights of the colonists that had been violated, but that the very tools of self-government that could have rectified the situation had been arbitrarily stripped from them. Americans were a people fitted for liberty and would tolerate no less. Yesterday would have been the day that the Congress officially voted to break with England, and the Declaration of Independence got all of its signatures by August. You know, if you want to, I'm going through this piece by Jared Stepman at Daily Signal. If you'd like to call and just tell me what is your favorite thing about America? What's your favorite part of American history? Maybe just a story like that. Or what's your favorite memory of a July 4th celebration? I graduated from high school in 1976, so the bicentennial was the big deal. Do you remember? I mean, a lot of you will remember that. In 1976, they had the tall ships come into New York Harbor, and they had just incredible fireworks displays, and of course, my diploma from high school is stamped with the spirit of 76 because it has a bicentennial gold emblem on it, because we were the class of 76, the bicentennial year. So if you've got some great memories of July 4th, or if you just want to take a minute and say, why do you love America? I've been telling you for, I guess, 40 minutes now why the country means so much to me. Why does it mean a lot to you? I think it's important that we share those stories and we remember and we talk about them, because if we don't, then we let progressives take the microphone, trash the country, and we've got a generation coming along that doesn't realize the greatness of America. All right, the second thing Stepman writes about is the Constitution and the rule of law. When the Founding Fathers set about creating our own system of government, they codified the principles of self-government to serve countless generations unborn. After the false start, so to speak, of the Articles of Confederation, the framers wrote and the American people ratified the Constitution of the United States. And by the way, that didn't happen until 1887, I think was the date. 1787. Good grief. I get my centuries wrong. Get the date right. The remarkable document created a framework of America's federal system that lasts still today, despite the countless societal changes that have occurred in the last two centuries. And while in many ways that constitutional and federal system has been eroded over time, Americans have remained committed to the idea of the Constitution as the glue that defines our government and binds Americans under a single system with many parts. And I'm just telling you, you're going to hear me talk a lot about this between now and November, because I think it's so vitally important. We're on the verge of throwing that out. And let me just give you one example. I mean, the Constitution and the rule of law, the fact that we adhere to a set of principles that are then codified that hold us together. You've got Mark McCloskey and his wife in St. Louis. You know, they're the ones that were wielding weapons to protect their home when a bunch of protesters broke through the gate and were going past their home and threatening them. And they came out with weapons and said, there's no police here. There's no rule of law. So we're going to protect our home. Well, let me tell you what's happened since that. They went on with Tucker Carlson, of course, and talked about the experience. And they've received credible death threats. And now they've got a credible threat that this weekend another mob is going to show up and burn their home. I mean, they're being threatened with the taking, ultimately, of their property. They call the police. The police put them on hold. When the police finally came back, they listened to their complaint and all of the threats that they'd received, and they said, well, let us think about this and we'll call you back. They never called them back. They went to private security companies and tried to hire private security companies to protect their property. Well, because the private security companies don't have confidence that the police are going to show up and back up and actually be the main line of defense to defend that area, these private security companies wouldn't take the job. Their advice to the McCluskeys was that they needed to flee. Just leave your house. Just go, run, hide out, leave. And if your house is abandoned, even if it's burned down, then your life is going to be saved. So they can't get anybody. Now think about this. The governor of the state of Missouri is a Republican. He's a former sheriff. So what is he doing about this? He could send state patrol to protect their house against these threats. But so far, nothing. They're absolutely alone. And they're preparing this weekend to defend their home against what they believe is a credible threat. Now, the Constitution and the rule of law is what should make America a place where something like that could never happen. Because you would have the legitimate authorities, police, National Guard, whatever it takes to protect the private property rights that are so important. I mean, you realize that the Declaration of Independence talks about our inalienable rights, and among these, the right to life, liberty, and the final one is the pursuit of happiness. But for a long time, it was property. It was life, liberty, and property were the three inalienable rights. And they changed property to the pursuit of happiness, which property and the pursuit of happiness are linked. Because you can't really, if you can't be secure in your sense of property and ownership, there's no way that individually you can pursue happiness according to what that means to you. And that's supposed to be what America is about. And so I'm just telling you, the rule of law that has been abandoned by progressive mayors, progressive governors across this country, the rule of law has got to be restored as part of our celebration of the Constitution, or as a country, we're not going to long endure. This is the cornerstone of liberty and order that defines our republic, ensures that we have an energetic but ultimately limited government. You see, the rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those rights that are enumerated in the that started in the Declaration of Independence and then grew into the Constitution of the United States, the government of our country was formed to protect those rights, not to usurp them, not to take them away from the people, but to protect those rights for the American people. And that's not what we're seeing right now, certainly in these riots and protests. Certainly other nations have codified their laws and created founding documents of many stripes, but none matches the enduring legacy of the Constitution of the United States. The American civilization may be young, but our system of government is quite old and has excelled through the test of time. All right, we're going to take a couple of calls here, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk about the American dream. And that should wrap up the first hour. And like I said, we're going to get to the news of the day coming up, I promise, in the next hour at least. Jim, thanks for calling.
It seemed like to me this is a place where the president can step in and tell a course come in to protect these people. Doesn't he have a right to do that with the military?
He has a right if he's willing to invoke the Insurrection Act. He has to basically say that the riots have taken place and are still taking place, and the destruction of property and the inability of local authorities to handle it, institute an insurrection against the United States government, and then he can send in the military.
These people are Americans, and they should have protection of the president of the United States, of our fellow citizens.
Right. Yep, they should. They do, according to our founding documents. It's just not being enforced.
At least step in until the courts can make a decision to protect these people.
Well, there's really no decision that the courts need to make, because this is not, I mean, honestly, there's no, I guess you're saying that when these people are prosecuted and sent to jail, That would be a form of protection over the people, and it would be justice that they've lost their businesses. Jim, thanks for the call. Let me just remind, the governor of Minnesota has asked President Trump now get this, to declare Minnesota a disaster area so that they can get federal aid to rebuild $500 million worth of damages. 1,500 businesses were destroyed. And now, after refusing, essentially, to protect the people of the state, I mean, that governor and the mayor of Minneapolis should be gone. I mean, if the people of Minneapolis don't vote these people out of office and put in people who are going to uphold the law, then they deserve what they get. I mean, I'm sorry.
Isn't Seattle going to do the same? Wouldn't they do the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely, they could. But this is insane. To ask taxpayers like you and I that live in South Carolina, I mean, they started some of this stuff in South Carolina, and law enforcement just stepped in and said, no way. You can protest, but you're not going to burn down businesses, and you're not going to destroy things, and you're not going to block major thoroughfares. That's not going to happen. And if they'd done that in Minnesota, if they should have put whatever force was necessary to allow protesters to raise their voice, but when it comes to rioters raising buildings, destroying property, 1,500 businesses that are no longer functioning, these people's livelihoods being taken by a bunch of Antifa thugs. Right now, there have been 128 to date. There are 500 investigations going on, and 128 people have been arrested and charged with federal crimes, and that's going to continue, and it needs to continue. But it's a little bit too late for the protection of these people's businesses. But our tax dollars here in South Carolina that we pay to the federal government, I'm not real excited about them being shipped to Minnesota to pay for people's businesses. I want to help the people, but Minnesota, they are responsible for not taking the measures necessary to protect these people. They abandoned their own people and let these thugs burn these buildings to the ground. And to me, that's a Minnesota problem, not my problem. It's all of our problem, but Minnesota ought to pay for it. Susan, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I just wanted to relate some happy memories from 4th of July.
Please.
I was living in Pennsylvania at the time of the bicentennial, and I got to see Gerald Ford in person speak in Valley Forge for that celebration, and they had all the wagon trains come in, and it was quite interesting. They had some authentic wagons, the old covered wagons and everything come in, and I remember when I was a kid, 4th of July parades, my brother always participated with our decorated bikes. And we would win trophies, and they would have a big picnic at one of the parks, and everybody had an American flag out.
Well, those are great memories, Susan, and I would encourage you to replicate those memories this weekend, and everybody else to do the same. Just celebrate. Wear a flag shirt. Get a hat. fly the flag. And get out and celebrate. And remember, you just don't have a day off to go out and party in the summer, which is great. But the thing that we're celebrating is the greatest country ever in the history of the world. Susan, thanks for the call. You know, if you find yourself with some time on your hands this weekend, why not rent or just buy the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson and watch it over the weekend? It'll give you a it's really about, the Swamp Fox. It's kind of a compilation of characters that were significant in leading the militia during the Revolutionary War that led to America's victory. And a lot of those were from South Carolina. So you might want to do that this weekend. The Battle of Cowpens is depicted. They don't call it that, but that's what it is. That's at the end of toward the end of the movie. And the way that battle unfolded is fairly accurately portrayed in the movie. So, and you might want to take your family. I mean, I think Cowpens is open now. I think they've opened the parks again, but it's just right over here. I mean, a lot of people have never been to see the place where the Battle of Cowpens took place, and one of the monumental turning points, really, in the Revolutionary War that allowed Cornwallis's march to New York to be delayed to give Washington time to rebuild his army and then eventually trap Cornwallis at Yorktown. The French arrive, block off Cornwallis's escape, and you have the American Revolution coming to a positive conclusion. All right, Tom is on the phone. Tom, go ahead.
Good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
Hey, brother. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I got a quick joke. Diane threw this thing at me, so I have to throw it back to you.
With yeah.
Battle of Cowpens, was that the first Chick-fil-A bowl?
Well, it could be. I suppose that's not bad. If she came up with that on her own, that's good. Tell her she still got it.
She heard you. We have a memory from the bicentennial that's just real special for the two of us. I don't know if you'll recall, but July 4th that year was on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on tour with my youth choir from church. I was just finishing my first year of college and was singing with the youth choir. We sang at a church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on that Sunday morning. But then the very next day, July 5th, our group sang in several spots around Washington, D.C., including the Capitol steps, and did some patriotic music. Well, 3 years later, Diane and I met. We started dating. We started sharing photo albums, and she shows me pictures of her youth choir being at the exact same locations our youth choir was, just at different times.
Wow.
The exact same day. And that's just something that we've just have celebrated and
celebrate.
Have,
yeah.
A great memory and something that's just bound us together over these years. But just wanted to share that story with you. And
thanks, Tom.
And that's
I really
and
listen.
And we're going for our CWPs today too.
Oh, today! Wow, what a great way to celebrate independence is to celebrate the Second Amendment. That sounds great. Well, God bless you guys. Tom, Diane, I love you. Appreciate our friendship over the years. I know we don't get to see each other too much, but I tell you, those years in seminary together, those were binding and bonding years, and I'm very thankful
Absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Take care, buddy.
Yeah,
have a great weekend.
Something you too.
To pay for us.
Yeah, you bet. Talk to you later. All right, here's the third part of Jarrett Stepman. I think I got his name correct, Jarrett Stepman, yes. The third part of his piece today at Daily Signal, he says the three great things about America. And you could come up with a lot larger list, but he just picked these three things, and I think they're very appropriate. And the third is the American dream. And you know what? I know a lot of people question today whether the American dream is still alive. I mean, our government has gotten so out of control. We're so polarized and divided. Is it still possible that we can enjoy and appreciate the American dream? I don't think it's too late, but we're going to have to change direction if we're going to preserve it. Self-government and the Constitution have made America strong and adaptable to changing circumstances. Just as importantly, they've created a system whereby the average person can thrive and prosper. This has never been. In any other country in the world, you've never had the opportunity for just an average citizen to rise to great heights. Our system actually promotes that, encourages it, and certainly makes it possible. You don't see this in the aristocracy of Europe. I mean, European aristocracy, you had three classes of people. You had the aristocracy, you had the what you would call a very small group of skilled workers that made up the middle class, and then everybody else was poor and had very few rights. In America, and for you to get from the poor class to aristocracy was not possible because aristocracy was by birth. And if you'd been born in the poor class, the best you could hope for was that someone would take you on as an apprentice, make you into a blacksmith or some other type of job or service in service area that would allow you to get to escape abject poverty. But that was really the only way. In America, anybody can rise to the level that their talents and abilities will take them. The country's strength lies in the millions of free-born, self-governing, and self-sufficient people who have taken the protections our unique government provides and created the most wealthy and prosperous nation in human history. Americans are, and have always been, an enterprising people, but more than just create wealth, we've used our wealth and prosperity for good causes. America's attachment to the rule of law and defense of private property has allowed the growth of an expansive middle class. Yes, America has produced many titans of industry, but the real source of our strength is the fact that the average American has had opportunities to generate wealth and prosperity and create a vibrant civil society. Many homesteaders went west to get rich, but many more went west to build families and ensure that their children would have a better life than they had. That's the spirit of America. We have used our tremendous resources not only to improve our lives, but the lives of others. And because of our enormous prosperity, Americans remain by far the most generous people on earth. This 4th of July, as with every Independence Day, we should be thankful and grateful to be Americans. We should be proud of what our country, though imperfect, as all of mankind is imperfect, has accomplished. It's important and essential that at this time we remember, defend, and pass on what has made America great. Well, Jared Stepman, you did your role, you did your part by writing this piece at the Daily Signal. I think it's great, and it was an honor for me to spend an hour on it this morning.